Got a dirty truck? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash, just 5 miles east of I-5, exit 216.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.
And now, it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch. My name's Terry Guile.
I don't like your jerk-off name. I don't like your jerk-off face. I don't like your jerk-off behavior. And I don't like you. Jerk-off.
See, because I paid a lake for weed like in the 70s and I never got the real one back.
You just got tagged.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
I heard in Hawaii, your spam email is your good email.
The TagCast Podcast starts right now.
Go Jason.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show here on the internet. Episode 538, our 196th motherfrickin' episode. My name's Terry Guile. It's hump day. Across the table is my co-host,
Gatch.
This is Michael P. Keaton.
I know, I saw that.
Not the band, but the song is called Michael P. Keaton by our good buddies 30 Pound Test. They released this song as a gift, a pre-release from their new CD that's going to be coming out pretty soon. Still haven't heard the final verdict of whether they got to open. I know they finished in the top three of the voting, so pretty damn good.
That's all they needed, right?
I don't know. That's right. What I heard, but we'll find out. So yeah, check out 30 Pound Test. 30poundtest.com. Check those guys out. They got a Facebook, too. And it's funny, their song is called Michael P. Keaton. Because Michael J. Fox, Alex P. Keaton, Michael Keaton, Batman. You just segue, tangent
Batman,
city. And then all the way,
Teen Wolf.
And then the next thing you know, you're talking about Ben Affleck. 6 degrees of separation from Alex P. Keaton. Oh, shit. Welcome to Hump Day Wednesday. Hope you guys are enjoying this hot and weird weather we've had. Some days it rains, but it's still humid. Like a Hawaiian ring.
I know. Everybody be getting humid.
We also, my brother is Trip E when it comes. That's his MC name. Trip E.
Trip E.
When it comes to keeping track of the weather and shit, I think he got it from my grandma. Oh. So he has a log of the weather, of what the high, what the temperature is every day, the lowest and highest temperature at his house.
Uh huh. Now, is this like a
book?
Oh, okay. I thought you meant a log.
No, not like a turd. Like a Stardate captain log.
Yep. Mm.
Or a trucker's log. Yep. He's logging in all this information.
Stardate 2013.
So he claims that for the last few nights of last weekend, I guess it was, because it's Wednesday now, but 100% humidity every night at 10 p.m. in Brownsville. How could it? What's 100?
Crazy.
What's 100% humidity? Just the isn't the air just water then?
Yeah. Well,
like,
it would be rain. Right.
I don't know. It wasn't raining. Huh. Sunny and 100%
humidity is the amount of moisture in there. Maybe because sometimes you walk outside and it's not raining, but it's still you get wet.
Muggy.
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, that's when
I questioned
like,
my dad when he told me that, and he's like, "Your brother, he's trippy." When it comes to the weather.
Trippy. Maybe he's tripping the weather fantastic.
Extra essential. Or whatever.
Tripping the lights fantastic. What is that?
The Grateful Dead?
Oh.
I don't know. That was the first thing that came to my head.
That's probably what it is.
I don't get to listen to all of our episodes, but I listened to an episode from last week. The episode where you asked me who was going to play Lex Luthor. And I said the guy from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And then the other one was the number one country duet of the 80s. And I just go, Islands in the Stream. And you're like, yep. I'm like, what the fuck? I was on that day. I don't know if I'm on today or not. But I have my psychic
I thought about
rolled.
That even later on in the week about the Islands in the Stream because I couldn't get that fucking song stuck out of my head.
Islands in the Stream, written by Bee Gees. Yep.
All right, here it is. The meaning of
life.
Trip the light, fantastic. To dance, especially in an imaginative or fantastic manner. And it was originates from the works of John Milton. And in 1636, he said, come, knit hands and beat the ground in a light, fantastic round. By trip, Milton didn't mean catch one's feet and stumble. The word had been used to mean dance nimbly.
Ah, I thought it was to be on acid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So does it say anything about it later being used by the Grateful Dead? Or people?
I don't see anything about the Grateful Dead. But
well, fuck, man. I'm not on today, obviously. Fuck.
Well, damn I it. Mean, that doesn't mean anything.
It does.
Trip the light, fantastic, or skip the light, fandango?
Skip the light, Fandango. That's the first
Why
line.
Why don't you come be your sin?
No, no, that's the first line from Procol Harum's Whiter Shade of Pale.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Maybe it was a McCartney album.
McCartney? Who the fuck's
Tripping
that?
Tripping the Live. Fantastic is Paul McCartney's first official live album.
Oh, duh. Not the Grateful Dead.
I'm a concert.
Not on today.
The title is an allusion to the phrase tripping the light fantastic, meaning to dance or move or shit your pants.
Okay. I fucked that one up big time.
Well, I didn't know. So.
News bulletin. Terry Guile just confused Paul McCartney and Wings with the Grateful Dead. Thank you very much.
I have a news bulletin.
Okay.
Did you hear about those cats that were that caused the delay on the subway?
I saw the three-hour delay
because there was cats on the subway rails.
Meow.
They wanted to. It takes 3 hours to shoo them off the tracks. Come on.
It would take 3 seconds to shoot them off the tracks.
Yeah, or at least maybe just with like a little low-powered BB gun, right? You know, that's just like. Make them run. They didn't want to kill them, apparently, but their excuse was, and I'm not advocating killing cats, but that they are important to eat the mice there.
Well, I could imagine that because there's a bad rat problem.
My thing is, though, that, you know, they don't stop when humans are on the tracks.
Not when they get pushed in front. They do, don't they? They do. If they reported, oh, there's a bum passed out in between stations at this certain location, they would have to.
What if he was standing in the middle of the tracks eating a rat?
Because you need the bums to kill the rats. Sometimes the cats aren't big enough to kill the rats.
You need the cats eat the rats and the humans eat the cats.
It's getting sad around here. I've pulled up my soundboard and now I'm just going crazy with it. Speaking of soundboards, let's see if I can find this one. I've been playing.
Is that the one you're looking for?
No, but it's funny because I had this written down, and just all day yesterday and today, I've been playing Super Mario Brothers on Wii. And
bling, 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 bling,
because a friend from down the street sent Mike over and said, hey, you guys want to trade games for a couple days? They want to play Mario Kart. They've got a Super Paper Mario, which is a fucking stupid RPG game where you just got to read a bunch of shit that a 3-year-old can't really play. This is for Jaden, pretty much. And so we're doing the Super Mario Brothers Wii, which is a bit different. Different control.
Yeah.
It's been 25.
I don't like that controller as using it as I would prefer.
You got to hold
it sideways.
I think
they sell them just like the
old school
controllers.
Nintendo, yeah, to go with the Wii. I think they would. But, you know, I get frustrated because I get so far and then I die and then, like, and I'm not playing this anymore and then I just play.
On the original one?
Super Mario Brothers, yeah.
Yeah.
It's more 3D, you know, it's just an upgraded version, but it's basically the same thing. It's basically the same thing as the old school one from
Super Mario Brothers.
It's supposed to be based off the original one, I guess, but I don't know. That's what I've been wasting my time on the last 2 days is trying to get to World 3. I got to get to World 8 to save the princess, I think.
Yeah.
And
8-4.
I don't know the there's a cheat thing where you can go through it and bust through the level and go automatically to 8. when we used to play Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, it's probably in the tubes.
Yeah, you go down the right tube and then do a double up, down, slam down on the ground, and then you bust through the floor and you fall into another
dimension. There's a couple places, too, where you can go above the thing and you run past, and it'll you break the bricks at the top of that tunnel.
Yeah, the invisible ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Or you got to bring up invisible ones and then go up where you, mm-hmm. you know, if you didn't know it was there, you'd never know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't got time to relearn all that shit.
I know, yeah.
And I'm just trying to teach Jaden how to do it, and he does pretty good for a little three-year-old.
Right on.
He does fall down sometimes, but don't we all?
Yep. Sometimes we hit our head and coins come out.
Yep, yep. And I don't know if I mentioned this before. We have had a hard time figuring out what episode we were on because we do the seasons thing. And finally nailed it down. And like I said, our 200th episode will be our 542. And now I got a good way to gauge it. I think the Big and Loud podcasts are like just exactly 50 ahead of us.
Right on.
Well, the other day they had like a thing where I thought,
oh,
yeah, on the air. Like, so they were talking about something right out of the gate, and then, like, Don was just kind of, they were talking back and forth, and Jim got a little offended, and he raises, well, fuck you, man, I'm fucking doing. And then all of a sudden, Don got all quiet, and he's like, then they talked about some other stuff, and Jim might not have noticed. I noticed, just because I've listened to it a lot, and he wasn't saying much, and he's like, hey, you're being so quiet. And he's like, I don't like being yelled at. He's like, I'm not yelling at, and he'd been, this was 5 minutes before, so he was already talking about something else. He's mm-hmm. like, I'm not yelling at you, I'm yelling with you. This is the Big and Loud podcast. What do you want it to be, the quiet and timid podcast?
Yeah. Wait, was he diatribing?
I guess, you know, and then he was like kind of trying to cover up that he did kind of, he didn't lose his cool or anything, but he just kind of, fuck you, you know, raised his voice to him a little bit.
Hey, it's going to happen.
And then he's like, okay, well, you just go ahead and do this because I don't know. Don's always loud and like, ah, and he's just all quiet. And I didn't know if it was an act at first. I'm not feeling it. He's like, oh, after 246 episodes of just bringing it every day, top-notch podcasting, you're just not feeling it. Going to phone it in today, are you? Going to phone it in? And he's like, not going to phone it in. He's like, I'll see. He goes, you just finished. He's like, well, you know. He goes, what's wrong, man? You can talk to me. I'm your friend. You got something on your mind? And he's like, I don't really like being yelled at. He said that like twice. And he's like, dude, would you stop with that? I'm not yelling at you. I told you I'm yelling with you. Let's do this. Let's finish the show. And he's like, no, you finish it. And he's like, well, everybody deserves a halfie. After 246 solid episodes, we could do a halfie. He's like,
yeah.
And so they started to wrap up at like 25 minutes. Well, Jim did. He's all right, well, if you want to see where Don's performing, go to donfrost.net. If you want to see where I am, go to bigjimwillig.com. Thanks to our sponsors. And he's like, no, dude. No, you can't. You're not ending the episode. He goes, we're doing a full episode. He goes, but you're going to, you're just going to sit here and watch me podcast for the next 30 minutes. He's like, well, I might chime in every once in a while. He goes, I'm just not feeling it. He's like, well, ladies and gentlemen, I guess, and he always goes into his radio voice, ladies and gentlemen, this might be the very last Big and Loud podcast. Don's not feeling it. So, he's kind of like making fun of him. So then they had the Friday episode, and he was still like, I got to find some way to get me out of it. He was still like down. He's like, I don't know. It's not fun for me anymore. It's like, it's a joke. He's like, this isn't fun for you hanging out with me? What the fuck? So I don't know. I'm sure they had an episode on Monday.
It might have just been staged.
Yeah, it made me talk about it. It made me get scared for a second, but I'll talk about this later, but I heard some things about Don Frost the other night that I didn't really. Yeah.
Did you know what a group of cats is called?
A flarn?
Close. It is a clowder.
Flarn, clowder. I knew it. That's so close. A clowder of kittens.
No.
Cats.
But, yeah. Kittens are...
A litter.
Nope.
A litter.
What's that in front of you?
Board?
Nope.
Mic?
Nope.
Freaking weed?
Nope.
Nope. Table?
A Kindle. A Kindle of kittens.
That's not true. A Kindle is a...
A Kindle of kittens.
Serious?
Yep, they're the same as sticks.
Well, they don't
just
have...
Just burn them.
So... They don't want to call it a litter, like a litter of dogs, because there's kitty litter?
I don't know.
They have a litter of kitties, because that sounds weird. Kitty litter. They shouldn't be in the same. If you're talking about little baby cute kitties, you shouldn't be talking about a shit box.
Yeah, I think a cat has a litter of kittens, right?
That's what I thought, but you just said it was a Kindle.
But after that, they're Kindle.
Oh, after they come out, they're Kindle?
Maybe. Yeah, it's like fetus baby.
Yeah, you can use them to light your fire.
Mm-hmm.
Kindling.
Here's some more cat facts.
Cat facts. This is a part we call cat facts.
A cat's nose pad is like a fingerprint. You know the nose pad? How it's all like a finger. Uh-huh. No two are the same.
Wow.
You could identify your cat if he commits a crime.
I hope you don't leave your nose print there, Kate, because I know that was you. And that's when I try to say Lucy is a bad cat, and I know that she did it because her fucking nose print was right there.
Yeah, her nose print's dried right in the poop.
Oh, yeah, it was dried in the poop, little bitch.
All right, when a cat winks or blinks at you, it means it trusts and loves you.
Yeah, they do the loving eyes.
Wink back and they'll wink back at you.
I know this. That's very true. I hope you listeners know that too. I have a cat book.
Yeah.
And that if they look at you and then they get the lovey, like, squinty eyes and then they do a blink, they're like, I love you. Mm-hmm. And I'll blink back. Yeah, I make love to my cat every night.
Did you know young cats purr in monotone? Older cats can purr in two or three resonant tones like those throat singers, right?
Life's the same. You're purring in stereo. Life's the same. Except for my cat.
Yeah. Now, I usually don't like... I see what people buy when people buy from our Amazon links.
Yeah.
And
they buy cat toys?
No, somebody bought a throat singing instructional CD.
After the episode?
Mm-hmm.
What?
I saw it on there.
But you don't know who?
Well, I only know of like a couple people who have bought things on there that have told me that they've bought things on there.
Hans, are you buying a... Are you going to become a throat singer?
I was wondering. I think it came with the CD, too. I was waiting for it to come up. I was waiting for it to come up in his CD player.
Throat singing. Yeah. Who was the number one throat singer? I can't remember.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah. No.
He always had a little something in his throat, you know what I mean?
Ooh, damn. Little kids, beware. Michael Jackson is dead.
I do have a top 10 list of rock albums this week.
That's all your cat stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Did you know that cats, let's see if I can think of one off the top of my head. There's three shapes of cat heads that also determine part of their personality.
Really?
Like an oblong and a triangle head and like a regular round head.
Really?
And it says that the triangle head cats, which is funny to say, hey, triangle head, what the fuck? That's like a derogatory comment.
Yeah, there's Triangle Man from They Might Be Giants. Triangle Man, Triangle Man.
And then there's, like, football head, which is, hey, Arnold. But, no, they have different shaped heads, and they said that the triangle heads, which is kind of like, you can tell by looking at the little chart that they have with the three kind of cat heads. Kate's a triangle head, and they said that the triangle heads are prone to do a lot of headbutting as a loving gesture. Like, they'll come up to you while you're petting them. And they will hit you with their head. And she does that all the time. So
it makes sense, because it'd be like that's the shape of their head that's probably like causing some sort of sensation.
And she'll headbutt. Like if she's up on this stack of guitars that are right in front of the door, and she'll wait for me to come home. Mm-hmm. And it's just like shoulder level almost, or a little bit lower. And she'll just come up to me, and I'll start petting her, and she'll be headbutting me in the armpit a little bit. And sometimes she'll just headbutt and just hold and like push down it. Like it's weird. Mm-hmm. My cat likes me a lot.
So what I'm gathering is, if you're ever at a cat fight, always bet on the triangle-headed cat if it's coming down to headbutts. right?
That's right.
All
right. If it's a professional cat wrestling,
mm-hmm.
triangle heads are the best at the headbutting.
Yeah, okay. And there's two other shapes you said, the football head?
I think, no, there's a round and an oblong.
Okay, round and oblong.
Football head is a cartoon character named Arnold.
Well, that's kind of oblong. I mean, just a different oblong.
Like Stewie is a total ripoff of Arnold.
Yeah.
I don't know what that guy's name is, Seth. Fucking whatever his name is.
Yeah.
He stole that from whoever did Hey Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. You don't see a lot of triangle-headed people.
No, you don't.
No, wait. Football head. Sorry. Football
yeah,
head.
Yeah, either way.
Give me football head.
Especially when they have the threads on there.
Threads?
Yeah.
Threads. Oh, to hold their scalp together.
Yeah.
Like a football. Yes, mm-hmm. for sure.
Which is kind of their hair on a couple of them.
Yes, that is true. This is true.
All right, so top 10 rock albums
of who sells?
On iTunes sales this week.
Ever? Oh, just this week.
This week. All right, I'm going to go backwards. Number one, John Mayer.
Ew.
That's all I'm going to say.
Has he got a new album or something?
I don't care.
Okay.
Number two.
Nine?
Bob Dylan.
You mean number nine?
No, this is number two.
You went from one first?
Yeah, because it's John Mayer and I don't care. It's
okay.
More interesting on the other
I end. Heard Bob Dylan's new release is fucking
no,
haunting.
No, Bob Dylan's new bootleg series number 10.
Yeah, it's this old is, shit, but I've okay. heard that it's fucking chilling.
All right, I'll buy it.
I don't dig it. I don't really like Bob Dylan, but a guy that I did a couple...
Hey,
what are you looking at a house for? I'm going to buy it. I'm on tour. I swear. I'm Bob Dylan. Just listen to my voice. No, a guy that I did a couple comedy shows in Corvallis with named Michael Cunningham... He posted something saying that I hate to keep saying it, but this fucking new Bob Dylan, the bootlegs, is just chilling.
The winds are changing.
I tried as good as I could.
I like some of his stuff, the more upbeat, you know.
Like a rolling stone.
Yeah.
Like a complete unknown.
Yeah, I guess if I'm in the mood for that.
I like Hendrix's version better, actually.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
And even all along the Watchtower, even though Dylan does a pretty good job of that one. But
What about, this is the story of a hurricane. Remember that song? Remember that movie with Denzel Washington about that boxer?
Ruben
Carter.
I never watched it, though.
Oh. It's pretty good. I
like Subterranean Blues by Dylan.
That's like a early rap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See me dee dabba ba doo dee ba dee.
In the middle of a bar, something body body dee da.
Jimmy Lauderdale likes to do that karaoke. And
really?
Unfortunately, the file of the song that I have just unexpectedly ends in the middle of the song.
Oh.
And he was getting it too, man. And I just had to remind him every time he came back, dude, I'd love to let you sing that song, but unless you want to get cut off in the middle and you're still saying, "Sing in the bed, hit the with in the bedroom, singing that with him, with him, who's down?"
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but yeah, he's pretty good at it. He gets all excited. And,
right on, yeah.
Okay, number three.
Oh yeah.
We don't want to talk about Bob Dylan all day.
Skillet.
Skillet or Skrillex?
A skillet.
Can you? All right, number four.
John Mayer.
Number five.
John Mayer.
What? No.
Yep.
Number six.
Paul McCartney, his album called New.
What kind of?
The Deluxe Edition.
Why?
New was the name of the album, and it's the Deluxe Edition.
Okay, I'll save my question for after we're done.
Okay, no, go ahead.
No, number, I want to save it. Number seven.
All right. Devil Driver.
Okay, that's cool. I was just reading up on some new releases of metal.
Mm-hmm.
And it just recently came out. So that's kind of nice to see those guys. They're metal.
All right.
Almost death metal. Yeah. I mean, they're more commercial.
Yeah.
The guy used to be in Coal Chamber, which I never really cared for.
Hmm.
Okay. Number nine.
Eight. Blue October.
That's a band name?
Mm-hmm. I think it's one word.
That's two words, bro.
I don't know. I
wrestled a bear once as one word, too.
Yeah, okay.
So, okay, it could be Blue October. Okay.
Blue October.
And that's number nine?
No, that's number eight.
Okay, what's nine?
Journey's Greatest Hits.
Whoa. 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 Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got any favorites on that?
Don't Stop Believing isn't one of them. No, I would hope that, you know, I have Journey's Greatest Hits, but there's a couple of them.
Right. Well, I imagine it's the one that with the art that is similar to their early stuff, like the Escape with the same artist, right?
Yeah. It probably
came greatest
out,
hits.
And it probably had like a Raised on the Radio, which was fucking... Ugh. That's when they started going downhill. But I like the... I don't even know if it would make the list. Fucking... It's the one that the other guy sings the first part of.
I wouldn't know.
I'll think of it here in a second.
Wheels in the Sky?
No, but it's on that record, too.
Escape?
No, that's a different record. But yeah, fuck Journey.
All right. And then rounding out number 10, AC/DC, Back in Black.
Wow.
That's this week top 10 rock albums on iTunes sales.
I wonder if that's a coincidence or fucking what. That's.
I don't know if AC/DC just released some stuff onto iTunes officially.
Doesn't
or...
everybody already have Black and Black? Black and... Apparently not on their iPod. Okay.
I just figured probably some cultural phenomenon. Was it on, maybe it was AC/DC week on Glee? So maybe, I don't know.
Well... That's cool. Now, the question was, I was going to ask,
hits is kinda
I'm
weird too.
Glad that I waited till the end because that gives a little bit more legitimacy maybe to why you included the list, but I was going to ask you around number 7, if 3 of them are John Mayer, why did you?
Oh, yeah. That's why I wanted to start with that side. And I wasn't even going to, I almost thought after the 3, I was like, well, that there's just, and so what the hell with those other ones too,
right.
You know? But yeah, I didn't even write down the albums of the John Mayer ones, I just...
Because he's, yeah.
Yeah. Skillet, I don't even know what the fuck.
Maybe that's Skrillex's sister.
I don't know. I think they're a little more rock.
Skillet.
I don't listen to them.
I like frying up some southern rock in a skillet.
I do, too.
Hey, did you hear that they're making a movie, like a Hollywood movie about CBGB? The club CBGB? I told you that story last week. I think I told everybody the CBGB story about Joey Ramone rolling a joint, and then it turned into Trayvon Martin story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right around that time, after we recorded that episode, I found out that they're making a movie about the CBGB, but some of the people that are playing some of the people shouldn't be playing some of the people that are playing the people. But I don't have the list right here. I want to read this a little bit. If anybody doesn't know what CBGB is, I don't know what's wrong with you. It's a punk rock icon place where, I don't know.
You don't know what's wrong with.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you don't know what punk rock is, but
it's an infamous New York club
that's now shut down. Yeah, it's now defunct, and the Ramones and Blondie and the Talking Heads, all these bands that claim
New
to
wave
have been
and
punk. Patti Smith, Television.
Cars?
No,
they
were Boston. Yeah.
What?
Yep, they were from Boston.
They were?
Cars, not in Detroit. They were from Boston. These cars were built in Boston.
So they were with Aerosmith then, right? Following up on Aerosmith's success?
Pretty much, but they didn't ride no coattails
they
in that
really
genre.
They never really had any accent, too, did they? Because they...
Well, no, not really,
they weren't the Cause.
No. They weren't like, life's the same, moving in stereo. We're moving in stereo.
Moving in stereo.
Now, maybe they were, some of them might have been transplants from different areas or, you know, a lot of people, they sing, they don't sing with their accent. But,
was Boston a huge town back then? You had Aerosmith and you had Boston, and those were both precursors, right? And then you had... That's all I got.
Who knows? But there's a lot of people in this that I don't even know. It's pretty cool that they add all these people in. Mickey Sumner is an actress that's playing Patti Smith, and she's way too hot to be playing Patti Smith. Joel David Moore is playing Joey Ramone. I don't even know who that is.
Joel David Moore.
Check this out. This is one I was surprised. Taylor Hawkins slated to play Iggy Pop.
Wow.
Shaved his beard off, became an actor. Of course, he's been in a lot of videos that he acts in, dressing up with girls and different stuff. Keen McRae plays Sting. I don't know who that is. Keen McRae. I don't recognize hardly any of these people.
I'm looking, and I don't either, but I do notice one name on there. Freddie Rodriguez, he plays the entire state of Idaho.
What?
He says he plays Idaho.
That's his name, bro.
Oh.
That'd be a big role. Alan Rickman. Do you know who that is?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's an older gentleman. He's
I know who he is.
He's playing Hilly, the owner, which was the name I couldn't remember when that New Yorker told me the story about CBGB. You know, me and Hilly, we go way back. He'd bring out a whole ounce of weed and just try to get me to roll a big old joint. And Joey Ramone, the Jewish godfather of punk rock.
You know who's playing himself in that movie?
No.
Cheetah Chrome.
I don't even know who that is.
Me neither.
Well, it's a good thing that they're playing themselves. They must not have aged at all.
Why do you need somebody to play David Byrne or Sting?
Because Talking Heads were a huge part of CBGB.
Well, I know that, but I mean, why doesn't David Byrne play it? He doesn't look that old.
No, but we're talking 20-year-old.
Like
yeah, I guess, kind of. Hmm. I think it'd be funny if they just made him up with makeup to look like they used to and just have everybody play themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be pretty funny.
I don't know. The only one I know is really the Taylor Hawken.
Yeah.
And Rickman.
The all-star cast. Whoa, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and they'll probably all turn out to be horses. Or lizards.
It's funny. I was reading this story here.
All right.
It's about this idiot in Colorado. Colorado idiot. Crazy Floridians and idiotic Coloradians. alleged jewelry store burglar was arrested when he abandoned his pants and his phone behind a convenience store.
You shouldn't abandon pants.
Don't abandon your pants with your cell phone in your pocket. The officers responding to a burglar alarm, and they spotted a man disappearing. Apparently, he was a magician. Disappearing behind a nearby 7-Eleven store. Police discovered a pair of pants, a cell phone, and a pile of high-end watches behind. A pile of watches. It's like a bag of knives, kind of.
It is.
A pile.
And who needs a pile of watches?
A pile of high-end watches. Officers said they spotted a wet, muddy man that matched the picture on the phone.
Wet, muddy man.
With no pants on, yeah. The
story's starting to sound like a Zappa song.
Man. I know. The number of the phone discovered by police matched the number of the Florida man. A Florida man.
Florida man, Florida man, doing what a Floridian on.
Can't believe Florida's fucking connected in this bullshit. The number for the phone discovered by the police matched the number of a Florida man that had given Loveland officers during a shoplifting arrest 2 days earlier. They said they recovered 69 high-end watches. Well, you watch their ass up in the air, it's a 69 high-end watch.
They missed the 70th one that he stuck up his ass 5 years ago.
Up his high-end. They're worth a total of about $200,000 worth of watches. Who's going to pay $200,000 for watches?
No one.
Somebody?
Well, a tennis player. Tennis players like to pay money for watches.
Only? I see people. I see dead people.
I see people, too.
I see people everywhere, dude. Like, every day I see people.
That would be a great movie. The kid's like, I see people.
And he's like, oh, I thought you were blind the whole time. He's like, no, I just see people. I don't see any objects.
Yeah.
Or any open air, any just people. It's like they're all cut out on a green screen, just walking around in a blank white background. I see people. Why listen to ICP?
You know, I heard Stevie Wonder, he's been going on all sorts of blind dates lately.
Oh, just lately? Did he get a divorce or something?
No.
I heard his wife was cheating on him and he didn't even see it coming.
Ooh.
Let's get corny with Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, the second time he went out with the lady was his second blind date with her.
Yeah, and then what happened? He said, I can't see.
It was his second blind date.
And then he said, sorry, baby, but I can't see dating you anymore.
Oh, yeah. I can't see you again.
Mon chéri amour, I'm blinder than a candle.
Have you been watching the wire?
See, I think he was blind from birth, but old Ray Charles lost his vision when he was like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And I used to think Ray Charles was blind from birth. And Roy Orbison, not completely blind.
Well, I didn't ever think he was blind. I thought he just wore those to be cool.
I thought he was blind.
I thought he was wearing them to be cool.
I think he was doing a little of both because I think he was partially blind.
I think maybe he was embarrassed of his blindness. I think.
Maybe
just like J.D. Salinger, you know, he had, people are saying he was embarrassed and that's why he was a kind of a shut-in.
Oh, don't be embarrassed.
He only had one nut. That's why they're proclaiming him. I don't
so
think
does Lance Armstrong.
Would, I don't think he would want that. I mean, no one. I mean, no. I don't think that would keep him. And
no.
But the guy, J.D. Salinger, you know, have you ever read his books?
No.
Catcher in the Rye.
No, I was always afraid I was going to kill a rock star if I ever read that book.
Yeah, or, and it, but he's coming out with five new books.
He's still alive?
Nope.
Oh.
He wrote five side stories, I think they are, of character for the character development of Catcher in the Rye, I think, or right. something like that. And he left instructions to have them published posthumously.
Cool.
Yeah.
I just...
Isn't that a neat idea?
Yeah, it is a neat idea. I'm just started reading a book that is considered posthumous, but it's fiction because it's Richard Bachman.
Ooh.
Released in 2006. I didn't even know it existed. It's called Blaze. Now it says...
Down in a blaze of glory.
Now they've gone so far as putting Stephen King writing as Richard Bachman. So it says Stephen King in big letters on the book.
Who doesn't know that?
It used to just say Richard Bachman. It was way more elusive and like kind of like made you think, is it really true if you didn't
you
know the backstory?
You were on the inside if you knew.
So apparently this is a book that he wrote in 1973. Before he got famous and didn't think that it was as good as the rest, so he never released it.
Hmm.
And then he released it as Richard Bachman in 2006. I read the reviews. They said it's classic King before he became what he is today, which a lot of people don't like some of the books that he wrote from 2000 on, but because he had a more primitive style in his younger days.
I heard a little something about Stephen King.
What did you hear about him?
I heard that he once had a story, and this kind of spawned Under the Dome. That he once wrote a story about cannibals.
Yeah?
Yeah. His thing was, they were all trapped. He was working on a story. It was about a 400-page manuscript. I was reading this. I was thinking of if this was where he's going to go with the second season. I can't remember what movie he was working on. When he was writing this, they were all trapped in a hotel. These people were trapped in a hotel, and he thought, "What if they were just cannibals and just ate each other?" And he said, "It's one note, but it's kind of funny."
One note?
Yeah,
it's a
like,
one note story.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they just
eat each other.
You're a real one-note pony, aren't you there, fucking Steven?
Yeah, and so I don't know, that kind of sounds, but I think it kind of spawned the Under the Dome trapped kind of in the environment kind of thing.
Right.
So that would be weird if they turned out to be cannibals.
Yeah, that would be weird if they didn't, if they run out of food.
Yeah.
And that's all they could do.
Yeah.
And we mentioned on Monday about Friedrich Nietzsche.
Oh, Nietzsche!
I wanted to tell you, no, he wasn't around in 1941. He died in 1900.
Yeah.
We did some fact-checking. And he was a philosopher, cultural critic, a poet, and like you said, he was a composer.
Yeah, in
but
his
I
college
don't,
days.
Don't know
I
if
think he was a fan of Richard Wagner.
Ah.
You know that guy?
Yeah.
We even met him at one point, but he would kind of shut him off after a while.
And that's why his quotes are always kind of cool, because he displayed a extreme fondness for like metaphor, irony, and whatever aphorism is. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Aphorism, I don't know.
Aphorism? I'm not sure.
But yeah, he's got a huge Wikipedia page. It's way too big to read. But
yeah, he died of syphilis?
Yes, he had lost all control of mental faculties by the time he was 44 because of syphilis.
He was very popular in amongst other philosophers of his time. He was kind of an outcast.
I guess he fucked all their girlfriends and they had syphilis.
And his wife... rewrote one of his books after he was dead, I think, too.
Rewrote?
I think she took some of his writings and, like, twisted it into her view. And and that kind of was seen in a... it was big in the Nazism.
Yep.
And because he was a German dude.
Existentialism.
Yeah.
Modernism.
So, but that was kind of his wife kind of twisting... his words, and a lot of people now are kind of refuting that he was he was a Nazi kind of a guy.
Yeah, and so I guess he didn't die at 44, so it was like, it was 1897 he died, but at 1889, which is 8 years before that, it was when he lost all control of his mental faculties, and then he was taken care of by his sister.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was later ascribed to a general paresis due to teratiari syphilis.
He would prescribe himself like chloric hydroxide or whatever that stuff is, like opium.
Yeah.
He was prescribing that to himself.
Smart dude.
Yeah.
I'm feeling better. Give me some more opium. So, yeah, I don't know if his music made it into any of those movies I was talking about on Monday, but his quote did at the very beginning of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. There's a nice quote.
Yeah, his big book was Thus Spoke Zarathustra.
Ooh, I love that one.
I love
the sound of its title.
I think I once owned it, but I don't know if
That means you read it quickly. I fucking owned that book, dude.
Yeah, it was. I think it was like
you just got
and stuff.
Book.
I just went through a few of them.
That book got served. Yeah. Up on a platter.
Trying to remember the Monty Python song and what they said about Nietzsche.
Ichi ni san chi go?
Yeah, that philosopher's song, and it started off with, what is it, Rene Descartes was a drunken fart. And then they later, they were kind of Bruce's philosopher's song. And they were all Australians, and, you know, they called each other Bruce in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
And so they would call each other Bruce. Hi, Bruce. G'day, Bruce. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Bruce.
And they were all, yeah. And, yeah, they would all drink liquors. And so what they said about, there's nothing Nietzsche couldn't teach you about the raising of the wrist. I don't know what that means. I guess he liked to hit people. No, he was raising the wrist. He was drinking.
Oh, yeah, raising the wrist.
Yeah.
That phrase is coming back.
Yeah.
What'd you do that? We fucking raised the wrist.
I raised the wrist,
and then we raised the roof.
We raised the roof.
Did you ever eat crayons when you were a kid?
I ate Play-Doh. I probably nibbled on some crayons, sure.
Did you know that in 1994, Crayola released some scented crayons, but they quickly had to retire them because the kids started eating them?
Yeah, well, I thought scented markers.
Well, yeah, but you can't really eat a marker.
But I used to lick them.
Oh, man, I'd go...
Yeah.
I would just huff them. Mm-hmm. And, man, that was like...
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if that's good for you or not. You know, like, I've been playing the airplane game with Jaden. I'll spin him around.
Worse than spraying... Raids directly in your mouth.
Oh, yeah. That's not even that bad. But anyway, so I'll spin him around on my shoulder and then set him down. He'll be all dizzy, you know, and he can't walk, and he's like, whoa. Mm-hmm. So we were down at my dad's the other night, and they've got a pretty new, nice office chair. And he was sitting in it, and they were, like, spinning him a little bit. I was like, you want to spin fast? And he's like, yeah. And so I just grabbed the back of it and kind of, I'm tall enough with the long arm that I could just... I fucking spun him so fast for long, and he was like laughing. He's like, this is cool. And then all of a sudden he went, and he got this weird look on his face, just not a smile, and he wasn't crying. And then I stopped, and he was like, I go, get up, dude. See if you can walk. Get up. And he was like, he fell over like four times, and he just had this really disoriented look on. I go, you going to get sick? And he's like, no. And he was all just like totally zoned looking. And then he just instantly as he went into that, he snapped out of it and goes, let's do that again. And so I did it a couple more times, and Dana's all, you know, I've been thinking about that. She goes, we shouldn't get him too used to liking head changes. You know, like, it gives you this weird, like, I like to do whippets because it reminds me of when my dad used to spin me around super fast in the chair. Or, you know, I don't know. She's like, he's not, if he likes being in a different state of mind, that's like, hopefully he won't do drugs. I was like, he's going to do drugs if he wants to do drugs.
Yeah.
I'm still going to spin him around. It was awesome because it was like a good 20, 30 seconds. He could not stand up, and then he'd go, okay. And then he'd try to take a step, and he'd just go, tung, 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 like a drunk dude. I was like, are you drunk? And he's like, no, I dizzy. I was like, okay.
Dizzy Miss Lizzie.
Dizzy Jaden. And Jared stopped by with his son the other day, Jared Johnson, and his son's name is Aiden. So Aiden and Jaden were playing Super Mario.
Nice.
Yeah, Aiden and Jaden. But Aiden's like 7.
You guys should have had Ron's boy over.
Raiden, Aiden, and Jaden?
Yep.
I used to know a kid named Hayden.
Oh, whoa.
And there's a kid from Brownsville named Hayton.
Oh, whoa.
Hayton Harden. Drunk Wade's son. He named his son Hayton. And this is what he claims.
What are you talking about?
Just heard this the other day from a credible source, but I don't know if it's true. He said, yeah, I tried to name him Hayton Niggers, but they wouldn't let me.
And I'm like, that can't be true. And they're like, I swear to God, that's why. So they named him just Hayton Harden. No middle name. Hayton. It's H-A-I.
Why did they have to be hate? Why couldn't he just be full of rage? And then he would have been.
But don't you think that everyone, when he gets a little older, he's like 8 or something now, they're going to see, why you got to be hating?
But what if he was.
Why you always got to be hating?
What if his name was Raging, though? What would his name be?
Raging Boner. Raging Hard-On. Okay.
Yep. Raging Harden.
It should have been Hating Raging. Hating Raging Harden. But yeah, he's hating it. And I'm sure that he is. Man. And I don't know if this is true or not, but when I asked him, you know, well, that's a pretty biblical name. You named your first son Noah. Why'd you name him? He's like, because we didn't know what to call him. I'm like, seriously? And he's like, pretty much. Like, I don't know. He's like, yeah, let's name him Noah. Is that really what happened? Because what should we name him? I don't know. No? Noah. That's a name, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, and I'm drunk. We'll call him Noah. Noah's Ark. Harden. With a Z, Noah.
Yeah,
Z-A-R.
I mean, I could see where you'd just be kind of like, hey, fuck it, let's do it.
Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
Harden.
If you watch TV, though, you know that it happens. It just comes out, right? You just know the name.
Yeah.
We're naming him Hayton Niggers.
I'm like, seriously, dude? That can't
Raging Harden.
Raging Hard-On.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody should get one free name change. Well, 2. Everybody should get a free name change at 8. And then at 18.
Eight for the fun one that you think that's what you want.
Yeah, and then, you can, then by 10, you're tired of it, but then you're stuck with it.
You know,
so
to be
you
honest,
better, for the next 6 years, you're like,
I think you can.
I better pick one that I really want.
Is there a stipulation of how many times you can change your name?
No. I think it's a filing fee.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm sure that they
should
probably
double,
want you to do it every day.
They should double the fee every time. First name change, $50. Second, $100.
Yeah.
I changed my name 3 times, $100, $200, $400, $800, and by the time the 5th time, you're paying $1,600. It's just like eating ghosts on Pac-Man.
Eating ghosts on Pac-Man.
There's a new Pac-Man cartoon called Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventures that my son watches. He's not my son. He's my godson, but he might as well be. Anyway, yeah, it's pretty it's
There was
funny.
A time when adventures were invented, right? When that word first came into existence before that.
I'm sure it was
people
back.
People weren't really going on adventures when there was, you know, no.
In the caveman days, they had no adventure.
Yeah, you walk around.
It's like, you're not very adventurous.
Yeah.
Why? Who invented adventures?
Oh, it was, around medieval times, it started really popping into, like, the knight-errant.
And they went on a mighty adventure.
Well, no, you know, you got the Homer's Iliad was probably one of the Odyssey, were probably early examples of adventures in writing. You know, I'm sure people have been having adventures for a long time.
Take yourself on an adventure.
Al Gore really invented it.
Take yourself on an adventure of the mind in this new novel. I'm sure that they had it back in, like, the... You said medieval times, like what, 1600s? 1600s?
Yeah, that's when the knight errants were around, and they were really taking the time to go on adventures and glorifying them, because that's what knights did to prove their worth, was go on adventures and quests for holy grails and stuff like that, right?
Right, right. Holy grails and adventures. Speaking of adventures, still cruising along in the adventure that is The Wire. Did you get a 7 yet?
Yeah, I watched 7.
I watched 5. I think I was watching 6 and starting to fall asleep, so I turned it off because I didn't want to fuck with it. But yeah, it's definitely got my interest and a good character building. And
McNulty.
Yep.
You got McNulty, the guy who's, you know, really cares as a cop, but... You know, but it also doesn't care about the channels.
Yeah.
To get the job done.
Yep.
And he's kind of driving the whole thing and trying to hold people accountable for what's going on in the world.
I hate that white dude, that idiot guy that, like, popped that punk down there when they went to that, when they went to the towers or whatever.
Oh,
at
yeah.
2 o'clock in the morning and everybody started throwing bottles and stuff at
yeah,
him.
Yeah, and he clocked that guy.
Yeah, he's that guy. He shot inside the building on that other episode earlier.
On the first day and inside there.
God, that guy is
the guy didn't
idiot.
Even know his name yet.
I hate that dude. And now, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they it's good characterizations of who you hate and who you like, and
uh-huh.
and
you got the bubbles on. You know, they show the other side down in the projects. You got Bubbles, and that one guy that he's hanging around.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Omar and his peeps.
Yeah,
which is pretty crazy what you learn about him early on, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to, I've been through seven, so I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
well, recently
five and seven.
What happened, I don't know if I got, I can't remember. I know it was, I had lost
yeah.
the count if it was four or five, because you just start watching
certainly.
Them, keep watching
yeah.
them. But
yeah.
They had been to that lady's house that got shot, and they were lining up the mm-hmm. shot through the window
oh,
by
yeah.
the refrigerator and all
they're
that stuff. And D, the guy named D, and mm-hmm. that one guy came with a clue saying that, and they're like, well, that has nothing to do with it. But
yeah.
it turns out. That fat dude's not too stupid after all.
Yeah.
He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, and then you got Stringer Bells kind of playing. He's fucking all business, man.
Yep.
So, you know, and Omar, yeah, he's badass. Stole some drugs from the other gang.
Some drugs.
Yeah, and but also, what do you think about that big old scar like right down his face?
Yeah, that's pretty gnarly.
He's also on Boardwalk Empire. He
ah.
plays... a similar badass kind of man out there on his own, and that's cool. Yeah, and you know,
you guys ought to check it out if you're into good drama. The Wire,
yeah.
it's pretty good. I don't know where you can watch it.
Amazon, I think.
Amazon on demand.
Yeah, or you could. I don't know. It you'd be hard pressed to find it online, I would think, unless you wanted a torrent.
Yeah.
Or like the free things.
A lot of people dig the torrents.
Yeah. You were talking about money a little bit ago, like mm-hmm. a few seconds ago. I don't remember what you were saying, but it reminded me of this story right here that I saw of Zimbabwe. They are the devalued currency world leader.
So their money's worth the least
yeah.
compared to what it used to be?
Mm-hmm. Now, they are in hyperinflation, which means... that they have a monthly inflation rate greater than 50%.
Every month?
Yeah, for a sustained period. And let's see. In the perfect 50% monthly inflation scenario described above, an item purchased for a dollar on the first, say a loaf of bread costs you a dollar on January 1st.
Yep. On February 1st, it cost a dollar.
No, on the next January 1st, it would cost $130 as opposed to a dollar.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. You don't got it so bad here, you guys. You could smoke weed and do podcasts, mm-hmm. but drive a car.
Now, that's at 50% inflation. In November 2008, their peak month of inflation... was estimated at not 50%, 6.5 sextillion percent. Now that is a one followed by 21 zeros.
They might as well just fucking fold. Fold, dude. You can't bet again.
They were printing $100 trillion bills. That's one bill that says $100 trillion.
Dude. Those guys should just give up. You guys should fold.
One American dollar was worth $642 million
of a cent.
$642, and then you give 15 zeros.
That's how many dollars it is?
Yeah. $642 bazillion of their dollars.
If you had a dollar,
was
that's
$1.
That's how. So if you took an American dollar, you would be a.
You'd be a starving billionaire.
A starving bazillionaire.
Because a single egg costs $35 billion.
Starving bazillionaires. That sounds
you could
like
be a billionaire.
That sounds like a movie.
You would
or
need
a podcast.
To have $35 billion to buy an egg.
Starving bazillionaires.
Yep. So they just abandoned all their money.
Not good. That's what I said. They should have folded.
And they didn't even bother to replace it. They just take foreign currency.
Yeah. Don't be stupid. Jeez, you guys, how long could it take you to fucking realize that?
Man, that is rough.
That is. All right. Real quick here, celebrity birthday. Only one.
They say tomorrow's Thursday.
He's worth mentioning. I can't remember his name because it was so blah, but Blackie Lawless.
Oh!
Former touring member of the New York Dolls. Didn't know that till recently, but
what?
Of course, Blackie Lawless of Wasp. He played the CBGB back in those days. So
yeah.
Maybe who's playing Blackie Lawless? He should just play himself.
And then there's, television.
So Wasp comes out 82, 83.
Uh-huh.
How old do you think Blackie is today? 82, 83, that's 40 years ago.
Man, was he under 18 when that stuff was coming around?
I don't know. He already had gray in his hair. If he was in the New York Dolls in 70s, he was in the New York Dolls in 76.
Okay, so now he's at least... Let's go.
If he was 20 in the 75.
I'm going to go 57.
Damn, you got it finally. Dustin Woo-wee. Gatch is on today. He guessed Blackie Lawless' birthday.
Wow, that's huge.
Happy birthday. And I wonder if at 57 he still fucks like a beast. Because he did.
He's born in like 47.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Wow.
He'd been around the block. So in 40, 50, 67, he was 20. So he was already like 26 before he was like 30 when he joined Wasp. See, kids, it's never too late. Art Alexis, Blackie Lawless, Phyllis Diller never did stand up till she was 38. It's never too young to start.
Oh, yeah.
Live your dream. Do what you please. If you've not done it because you thought there wasn't a chance, get out there and do it. Also, birthday today to Portland friend and band member of, I believe he's in both bands, General Nasty and World of Lies, bass player Tony Papasadaro.
Hey, Tony.
I like to say Papasadaro because it's...
Papasadaro.
You got Tony Avila and Papasadaro.
Yep. Give
what if they call him
$7, he'll give you a CD.
That's right. And they're opening for Morbid Angel at the Hawthorne Theater coming up in a couple months, so make sure and listen to the plugs after the show because it will have details on that, like the date and stuff. Hey, it's Wednesday. We'd like to thank... We're not ending yet, but I always like to mention pizza now. Those guys are... My stomach just reminded me. He's all... Talk about pizza now. So someone was telling me that they recently got to enjoy one of them old school pizza places that I can't recall the name. It was like Pietro's, but it's not. Or Round Table Pizza.
Round Table
Pizza. And he's
pizza.
Like, oh, I loved Round Table Pizza. It was so good. And I was like, you ought to try Pizza Now. And I'm like, what the fuck's Pizza Now? It's fucking pizza. And it's now. Go get it.
I had some yesterday.
Awesome. Good job. Thanks for being a supporter. We love you.
No problem.
We love you, Chris. I know you're not listening, you fat bastard.
Have you ever been to any of the arcades up in Portland?
I went into Ground Control one time.
Did they have Polybius in there?
Is that a game?
Yeah.
I didn't have a chance. It was packed. I didn't get to see all the games. They have a monthly comedy show there.
Oh, right on.
Called No Pun Nintendo.
This is one of the oldest gaming myths. What's it called?
No Pun Nintendo. It's awesome, isn't it?
Yep.
No Pun Nintendo.
Right.
It's a comedy show. Ron Funches will be headlining this month, so check that out. Ground Control.
Wow. All right, this is perhaps one of the oldest gaming myths out there, and this originated in Portland in the early 80s.
Okay.
Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon.
It was an arcade game that mysteriously appeared in the arcade. The cabinet was completely black except for a green joystick and a logo on the top.
Getting back to the ghost.
It had elements like Pac-Man and Tempest and spatial puzzles.
Okay.
But when played, it supposedly caused all sorts of health problems, including amnesia, blackouts, nausea, seizures, headaches, night terrors, and suicide not long after playing.
Wow.
It is also said that men dressed in all black would often be seen messing with the game, leading some to think that it was a government experiment.
Holy...
But no one ever knows whether the machine actually ever existed.
Dude.
It was featured in an arcade in the Simpsons episode.
Dude, that's a fucking weird weird story.
Yeah, these is that are true? Video game myths and legends. And scary things. Here's one. Earthbound was a popular game. And the final boss was a character. You had to perform an abortion in order to kill him. It was an alien that wanted to destroy the world. And it was pretty much a fetus. And then the game creator pretty much has basically said that it was inspired by a movie he accidentally saw as a child that was called The Military Policeman and the Dismembered Beauty.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah. There was also a game created in Soviet. Soviet, is that a place?
Yeah.
Well, you know
well it's not
about.
A place, it's a union, actually.
Yeah, this was 89. And limited copies of this game were produced and is very popular. It was like a survival horror game, like a pioneer in that genre.
Right.
And you had to choose between two characters, a girl or an invisible demon. Huh. The goal of the game was to navigate through an abandoned coal mine, demons and coal monsters. But it was hard to navigate with an invisible character because it was invisible.
Hmm.
So most people picked the girl. Unfortunately, no one ever completed the game with the demon because upon beating the game, all traces of it would be erased from your hard drive.
Dude, is this true?
In 2005, an unopened copy of the self-deleting game surfaced on eBay where some guy named Yamamoto Ryuchi bought it for $733,000.
Whoa.
And he had planned to document his playthrough of the game on YouTube. The only video ever surfaced was a video of him staring at his computer screen and crying.
Whoa. Dude, where are you getting this?
Hey.
Hey.
It's on the internet, buddy.
Then it's got to be true, right?
It is.
It is. Okay. I believe you. It's just weird. I don't believe in ghosts, so.
That is, yeah. Well, it was, you know, mind control is possible.
Mind control.
It is.
Mind control.
I'm going to perform mind control right now and make people take this cooking hint. When you make a hamburger.
Take it.
Poke a hole in it.
Take it.
With your finger.
Take it.
Not with anything else. Poke a hole in it, though, because it'll cook more evenly and it won't get that big old pocket in the middle.
Poke a hole in it with your finger?
Yeah, put a hole. Yeah, make it a ring. Not like a big ring. You know, I mean, you just put a little hole in it. It'll grow back together by the time it gets done cooking. And it won't be raw in the middle.
All right.
Bam! Poke a hole in your hamburger.
There you go.
Not with your dick.
That's a good way. Hi, Hans. You could use your dick if you want to, if you're not sharing your hamburgers. Yeah. Your dick has to be a little bit hard.
Hans's CD
player. Hans's hamburger patty.
That's my penis head. Check out my new penis head burgers. You know that the penis head is like a fingerprint.
Isn't that a mushroom burger?
Yep. Yeah, it's a mushroom head burger. They're like, head, what's the head come from? Okay, I'm not going to tell you. Today in Hans's CD player, I've never been sure how to say this band's name, but Usurper.
I've been reading that word like two or three times this week.
Is it ooh or
Doesn't that mean surpassed? Like you are the one who surpassed something?
I'm not sure, but you could usurp someone. I know that, but I don't know what the name of the band means, but I know that the band is it says here on this website that they're split up, but I'm pretty sure they're back together because they're releasing albums. They originated in Chicago, Illinois, in 1993. Illinois. There's no S on the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and I guess they broke up in 2007? Oh, yeah, so they broke up in 2007. Their last album was what Hans is listening to, Crypto Beast.
Crypto Beast!
Came out in 2005. They're a black slash thrash metal band, and their lyrical themes include metal pride, the supernatural, and the occult. Hey, Hans, long live your metal pride, brother.
Heck yeah.
This is information from Encyclopedia Metallum, Metal Archives.
Well, I looked up Usurper.
Okay.
And it is like someone who controversially or illegitimately claims power. Often in a monarchy, you know, where like someone would step in and take over. King.
Right.
Claiming the power.
Usurper.
Yeah. Usurper.
There's another band called Usurper.
Usurper? Is there?
Well, there was for a while. They had to change their name, though. But it was an incarnation of Incubus, which is not the Incubus that got popular, but there was a metal band back in the day called Incubus.
Huh.
And they got fucked, kind of. Because then Incubus came out, and they were like, well, you know what Incubus is. Well, I don't even know what kind of music that is. Is that radio music?
Yeah.
We just call it radio music.
Yeah.
With
it
a guy.
Was like...
there's some funk in it, and there's some...
Metal light.
Really light, though. I don't think there's not much metal in it.
No, but for some reason, they got put in metal categories.
There's about as much metal in there is in the ground, because there's a natural amount of aluminum in the soil, especially from the chemtrails.
You know what would be weird? Let's say you're Paul McCartney.
Okay, that would be weird.
Let's say you're Paul McCartney and you got grandkids.
Okay, am I full or am I Paul?
You're Paul.
Okay.
Because Paul's dead.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I'm full. Okay.
You're Paul.
I've got $850 million.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And you got your grandkids there.
Okay.
And they're playing on the Wii.
Wii?
And, or any other video game system.
Right.
And you guys are playing Beatles Rock Band.
Okay. That sounds fun.
And you're Paul McCartney.
Yeah. And you're losing because you're not playing it correctly.
Yep. Exactly.
Really? What? His kids beat him?
His grandkids beat him. And
of course.
He tells them.
He's old. Dude.
I wrote the original records, lad.
But that doesn't mean you can still play it today at 70.
I know.
Right?
Can you imagine Paul McCartney holding a plastic guitar? That's like a fake Paul holding a fake bass.
They should have videotaped it and put it on YouTube. Here's full McCartney playing, and he can't even play Rock Band.
I know.
He can't even get through I Want to Hold Your Hand. He obviously is not Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney.
Or what's that one song?
Paul McCartney.
Boys Town or whatever. Our Boys.
Boys Town.
I remember Flame sang that, didn't he?
Boys Town?
Yeah, remember, no, it was called Our Boys, I think, a Beatles song. Remember we played that Beatles Rock Band?
Oh, that's right.
And there was that one
play
funky
that
song.
I played better than Fool. I bet
they
I could
did.
Be Fool.
You did.
He's full of shit.
You're rocking the drums, I do believe,
He's
on there for
full.
A while.
Yeah, I'm Ringo. I played in the Frank Zappa movie, that's why I'm Ringo. Or it could be Joan. No. I got cloned from a tooth. The guy bought my tooth for $30,000 and cloned me.
Hey, did you hear that the federal people have said states can make their own laws for weed now?
No, but that's good.
They kind of just said, hey, you guys do whatever you want in your own states.
Yeah. And then if we have a hard-on for somebody, we'll just bust them on a federal charge.
It's like 47% of the people in prison are on drug charges.
Weed, though?
No, I'm not saying weed. I'm just saying drug charges. You know?
Yeah.
That's a huge population.
Drugs are bad.
Of those. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it has also been told that pot is the most popular
Amazing
drug in the world.
Hell, I don't doubt that.
Yep.
It's not really a drug. It's an herb, son.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, 8.6 million people take sleeping pills.
Frowny face.
They should just smoke weed.
Telling me...
Would that not put them to sleep?
Well, if you smoke enough, but now there's the problem of lately, and my wife included, she likes to smoke a little, and then she has a panic attack a little bit. Not certainly severe, but she gets all anxiety down. She's like, I thought I wasn't going to smoke no weed, and every time I say I can make it a smoke, and then I feel just like... And to some people, a little bit's too much. A little of anxiety is like, I don't like it.
Do you think that could be strained, though, as far as like if you had the availability of...
getting a personalized strain that is...
Or just like a choice of strains.
Yeah.
You know, if even like three, like this one's might give you anxiety if you smoke it, or you know, because
side effects may include high
anxiety. Obviously, some weed strains give more anxiety than others. I notice it. You know,
that could be.
And
I don't ever feel
and like well, you know, you just notice the heighten of that of those senses, I guess. But yeah, like that last stuff. I mean, that was. Giggly stuff.
You heard what I'd always called propaganda that marijuana causes hallucinations, and it's always listed in with the what it can do to you, hallucinations.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always said I've never hallucinated on weed.
I haven't, no.
Seth Milstein said he hallucinated on weed the other night.
Really?
Fucking fly.
I know. You won't even land.
I wish we had one of those salt rocks. Rock salt gum.
No, they're only like $30. I can't wait till they hit the stores and then they discount to 20.
Yeah, as seen on TV. But yeah, he said he ate some edibles and the guy told him not to eat, you know, all of them or whatever, and he ate more than he should have or whatever, and then might have drank a little bit and a little bit of sleep deprivation, but he fell asleep watching this movie that had this weird, not a monster, but a thing in it. I can't even remember what the movie was. And when he woke up to go to bed, he kept seeing it. He saw it like four times in the corner of his eye, and he'd look, and there would be nothing there.
I'm not as experienced on edibles, though, to know if...
yeah, I go, maybe you know, eat them, you freaking freak out.
Yeah, it's a different body high, I know that, so, I mean, open different doors. The ones that the dragons are hiding behind. Do you believe in dragons? Do you believe in dragons?
Do you believe in God?
Are you comparing dragons to God?
I believe in God. I believe that Jesus is the Loch Ness Monster. He died for our sins, and it's okay to wear cotton and polyester blends and eat shellfish, but no gay marriage. Nessie says no.
Nessie says no gay marriage.
Oh, that's a horse. Okay, well, shit, we're going to go get some pizza now. Oh, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Pizza Now. And we'd also like you to check out our website, tagcastpodcast.com. That's the home of all Tagcast episodes. You can click on any old seasons, 1 through 5, 196 episodes to choose from.
Yeah, and so, if you donate $1 for this week, that's only 33 cents an episode.
That's right. And you can also check out dudeschillin.com, where there's a random amount of different podcasts and Zappacasts and different things just going on 24/7. Dudeschillin.com.
24/7.
No G in that. Just dudeschillin.
Yeah.
No apostrophe either.
Dudeschillin.com.
Also check out terrygal.com.
Heck yeah.
Upcoming shows. I'm going to be doing a show with Mac Chase and Max Brockman, a Mac and Max.
Wow.
I'm going to be Mac and Max. I'm going to be at my Max Mackin'.
Yeah, you're going to be the cheese.
And it's going to be at the Tiny Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be Friday the 13th.
I still think you should go with the Mac Cheese and do cheesy jokes.
Yeah. I don't know. I met that lady, Stacy Halal, and she does some bookings of comedy, and she said she will not hire a comic that does puns. She doesn't want puns done on her stage. It makes her feel dirty. And she goes, I don't know why. She goes, because we were talking about people changing their style for certain gigs, like doing clean gigs for money and not cussing and not using your, just what you would normally say. Mm-hmm. You know, she's like, I feel weird asking people not to change their act, to do something different to fit a show. Because she had people approach her saying, well, I can do a set with no puns. And she's like, I'm sure you could, but you normally always do puns. So I don't want to make you not do puns just so you can do my show.
Yeah, but that's kind of cutting back from, like, giving someone an opportunity to expand.
You're punny. I'm not booking you.
Maybe somebody would see that as a challenge. Well, I do a lot of pun jokes.
It's like me, maybe. No weed. It was like telling me no weed jokes.
Yeah.
I said,
yeah.
I can do it. And I did it. And I didn't even really do any weed jokes up there in Portland. I mentioned weed with the mm-hmm. Insta. I guess I did. I lied. Instagram is a weed joke. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. All right, you guys. Thanks for listening. Get out there and do some humping.
Hump it up.
Hump it up and turn on your...
Yeah.
There it is.
Hump some hamburger patties.
I knew it was
going
to be there somewhere. I had my volume down. Ooh, yeah. Don't forget to poke a hole in your... I've never done that with my finger or my penis.
No, I've seen them at Costco where they sell them like that.
They got a divot or a plain old
it's
hole?
It's just a hole. It looks like a...
Like a donut.
It does. Yeah, but the hole's... Yeah, it's about... An inch.
Does
across.
It grow together though when
yeah.
you cook it?
Yeah.
Because they shrink up.
Yeah, it shrinks up and then it cooks in the middle and instead of getting that big old pocket that kind of balloons and then doesn't cook right.
Dude, I'm doing that tomorrow.
Heck yeah.
Not tonight because I'm eating pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you guys know how it went too.
You know, you could do too. You could put stack two of those and then put a piece of cheese in the middle.
Dude, remind me on Friday to tell you about the food cart I ate at up there in Portland. I had a kick-ass burger. Food cart. See you guys on Friday.
Cood fart.
That was a cood fart. Dicks. Hey, all you taggots. Does that music sound familiar? I missed it, so I'm bringing it back with the black napkins backtracking from San Zappa with the black pack. I got some shows for you to go see. It's kind of a short list today, though, because I didn't do a lot of research. I've been busy, but don't forget that it's not every Friday anymore, but it used to be. This is the last Friday comedy at the Baghdad. 18 headliners. 18 headliners in one night for $5. Comedy at the Baghdad, September 6th, 37th in Hawthorne, with your gracious host Tristan Spillman. Busted that shit out for 7 years straight every Friday, so go there. I hope it's sold out because it deserves to be. Too many comics for me to even start listing. Every second Friday in Eugene, Pantsless Comedy with Mike McGowan at Cornucopia, 5th and Pearl in Eugene. September 8th, it's the Uproar Festival with Alice in Chains, Jane's Addiction at the Sleep Country Amphitheater. Possibility of our buddies 30 Pound Test opening that show. We are still waiting on word, but we will let you know for sure if that does happen. Friday the 13th, that's this month, September 13th. It's Yob, Tormentium, and Ninth Moon Black at the Wow Hall. It's going to be a great show. Get tickets now or get tickets then. Whatever you do, get tickets for it. If you don't like that kind of stuff or you want to try to do both, come to the Tiny Tavern that night, Friday the 13th, for a special Friday the 13th comedy show. That's 4th and Blair in the Whitaker District in Eugene. Myself, Max Brockman, Mac Chase, and other local comedians will be making you laugh there at that tiny little piss hole of a tavern that we love to call home there at the Tiny Tavern. September 12th at the Wow Hall, it's Led Zeppelin, a great tribute band to Led Zeppelin, of course, in case you wouldn't know what was going on. September 28th at the Black Forest in Eugene, Necryptic and World of Lies, and a third band that just got added. I cannot remember the name right now, but I'll get that information to you before the show happens. That's a free show. It's 21 and over. Starts about 9 o'clock. World of Lies in Eugene. It's been too long. Thanks, you guys, for coming back. October 3rd, Between the Buried and Me at Hawthorne Theater. Some other bands will be playing with them, too, but you'll just have to go and check that out for yourself if you're interested in that band. Brian Posehn and Derek Sheen will be doing comedy at the Wow Hall in Eugene, Oregon on October 4th. And our local radio personalities, Drew Tiedemann and Marcus Bridges, will be opening the show, getting to do a set of comedy each. Great opportunity for them to open for Brian Posehn. October 8th, Michael Franti and Spearhead at McDonald Theater. October 10th through 13th, there's a Doom Festival ran by Nathan Carson up in Portland. It's called Fall Into Darkness. Some of the shows are at Mississippi Studios. Some are at another place I can't recall. But the highlight of the weekend for me is October 11th, Orange Goblin. Go check those guys out. October 11th also, you have to make a choice. Is it going to be Orange Goblin or is it going to be Raven and Diamond Head? It's probably an easy choice because if you like Orange Goblin, you wouldn't care about Raven and Diamond Head probably. Who knows? Make your choice. October 15th, it's Gwar with Whitechapel at the Hawthorne Theater. The 13th, Creator and Overkill. All these metal shows at Hawthorne, your home for heavy metal. in Portland. November 26th, Morbid Angel at the Hawthorne with World of Life, Seasons of Suffering open. It wasn't a short plug. I stretched it out. Don't forget, September 14th, it's a Saturday, Strange Dichotomy will be playing Dixie Creek Saloon because they still allow that kind of stuff there. Guess you won't be seeing my bands play there. Anyway, go check out some shows. There's lots of good stuff coming up, and go do some over the weekend. It'll be fun. Come back to the internet after you're done and listen to tagcastpodcast.com, where you will find Terry and Gad's comedy show. Thanks for listening, you guys. We'll see you next time.
Rock off.